Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. See, that's why we can't talk during the breaks. That's why we can't talk until the show starts. I was just BSing with John Jackson, the Joker from X, off air during the national news update there before we got the show up and running. And I think we just had our best content of the show. And we weren't even on the air yet. But, yeah, man, it was just hilarious. John, I started off with the, hey, Missoula man. John, you've heard all the Florida man references. Like, this is big in the news. Whenever you see a story that says Florida man, like, if there's a story about Florida man, it's always one of the craziest crime stories you will ever see. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, it's always like Florida man attempts to wrestle gator into his backyard swimming pool or something. It's always something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the most tame of all the Florida man stories. The crime stories get really crazy. Well, I feel like for Montana and for Montana news, Missoula man is the Florida man. Like, from a Montana news perspective, all you got to do is read the Missoula news, and that's your Florida man coverage from a Montana perspective.
Well, don't forget there's Maryland man. Okay, so, you know, watch for the media doing that stuff. Every time they say Maryland man or Bozeman man, you know, that's probably an illegal.
Hey,
right? You got to watch for that, too.
Yeah, exactly. So this is no joke. This is the headline. It's a story by Nick Christensen with KGVO News out of Missoula. I've got the story on our Montana Talks website right now. Here you go. Man steals tips, shows genitals to Missoula employee. Does that surprise you that that's a Missoula story? The guy steals tips out of the tip jar and then shows his genitals to this employee in Missoula. My goodness.
I need more details on this because this is a very intriguing story that's lacking a lot of details here. I mean, how did this go down? What was the chronology of events here? I mean,
if it was just the tips, it'd be bad enough. But then he's got to expose his genitals to the employee on top of that. I mean, for Pete's sake, I mean, the Democrats in Congress tried to steal your tips with taxes on tips. But, but at least for the most part, they're not exposing their genitals at the same time. John, would it surprise you that this isn't the first time this suspect has done this?
I'm shocked to my core that he's a repeat offender. And doesn't he sound exactly like a Democrat politician, Aaron? Stealing your money and grabbing his crotch. That sounds exactly like what we get from Democrat politicians.
John, would it surprise you if I told you that this guy also is affiliated with the Pavarello Center, the big homeless recruitment center in Missoula? Would that surprise you at all?
Shocked again. Totally shocked.
And very shocked.
What we always say is you get what you tolerate. And that's what Missoula has decided they're going to tolerate over there. So, welcome to what you voted for.
This is what you get. Oh, and higher property taxes, too. Somebody's got to pay for the tip thief.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, John, I tell you what, that last segment there, you helped me lead perfectly into the next topic that I wanted to bring up this morning here on our statewide show. So we were talking about the Missoula man and all these Missoula man crime headlines and how many of them oftentimes tie back into the transient community and how liberal politicians on the Missoula City Council and the Missoula County Commission promote this lifestyle. They basically recruit these people to move into Missoula and take these resources away from Missoulians. And then if you're a taxpayer in Missoula, your taxes constantly go up, 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 and up. John, I don't know if you saw this story. I tagged you in a post on X here. I shared this on X earlier this morning. I said, our Republican Flathead County commissioners are better than your Democrat Missoula County commissioners. And I shared a must-read news story from the Daily Interlake. Flathead County budget lowers taxes. John, when do you hear about county commissioners in a heavily populated county in Montana lowering taxes? But that's what Flathead County's Republican elected officials just did.
Whoa, here. Hold up on that car wash, gentlemen. I mean, are you telling, Aaron, I thought it was against the Montana Constitution to lower taxes. Are you kidding me that you can actually do this? I mean, amazing. I mean, even with $2 and $3 billion surpluses, right? Our legislators managed to still want to raise taxes on it every time. I thought it was just part of the law. I thought we just had to do that.
Yeah, you had an even funnier line when we briefly mentioned this story off air at the top of the hour. You were like, wait. I thought the Montana Supreme Court ruled that says you can't ever lower taxes, because we would not be shocked if the Montana Supreme Court, with the liberal majority mob rule they have right now, actually came out with a ruling ordering people not to lower taxes.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you can just hear the leadership up there in Helena saying, yeah, gee whiz, we'd like to lower those taxes, but, you know, the old Montana Supreme Court, you know, they just told us we can't, right? I mean, it's amazing what people can do when they decide they're going to do a thing. I mean, it's just, you can lower taxes, people. It is possible.
So, we all know it. Look, we've seen a lot of growth, population growth, economic growth here in Montana. The COVID refugees, the show Yellowstone got a lot of people to want to move here and do business here, et cetera, right? But where is all the growth? It's in the bigger towns, right? It's in the Billings, the Bozemans, the Buttes, Butte's actually getting a lot of growth too. But it's mainly, you're seeing a lot of growth in Missoula, Bozeman, Kalispell area in particular. So what happens when you get growth? You get more revenue. But John, you notice how they never want to tell you about all of the additional revenue they're getting. They only want to tell you about all the expenses that they have and why they need to raise your taxes. That's why this Daily Interlake article is so great. Flathead County Commissioners, this is from the Daily Interlake. Flathead County Commissioners on Tuesday approved a budget that calls for a decrease in county tax bills. For the fifth year in a row, county commissioners left money on the table. The budget foregoes levying 5.47 mils, which leaves a little more than $3 million untaxed. A $300,000 valued home will see taxes fall by $202, and a $600,000 home will drop by about $336. But here's the numbers that the Daily Interlake included, which most in the media never include these types of numbers. They never want to tell you how much revenue has grown in these cities and in these counties. Total property tax revenue increased to $53.6 million, a $2.6 million bump from last year, and a $5.2 million bump from FY 2024. New properties coming onto the tax rolls made up over half of the $2.6 million increase. So, John, again here, what happens? If you grow your property tax base, if you have more people paying property taxes, which all these big towns in Montana do, you grew your budget, you grew your revenue. So you don't need to raise taxes on anybody. And yet, look at how they raised taxes over 20% just in Missoula alone in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and like we just talked about in the previous segment, you've got these $2 billion, $3 billion surpluses coming out every time we hear about the Montana legislature being in session. These massive, massive surpluses, and still they need to raise our taxes some more. And you know what have you heard now for decades, right? Montanans are very scared that Montana would turn into the next Colorado, in which we are basically taken over by California, Washington, Oregon, New York, elite, rich liberals. That's what happened to Colorado. Colorado used to be a red state 20, 30 years ago. Well, look at where we're headed right now. Montana is now the fourth most expensive place to buy a home in the country, and we're taxing our citizens at one of the highest rates as well. And that's where you're headed. That's where that will lead you, which you will end up with just a huge, wealthy, out-of-state population here.
Well, and most of the refugees we've seen in the last few years are like-minded folks. They fled the crazy high taxes and the insane social policies of these other states. But you raise a good point that if prices keep escalating and staying high and everyday folks can't afford to live here or move here or whatever, who's left? The ultra-liberal woke elites, and so that could change those demographics in another direction, which is, again, another reason why I say we have got to fundamentally scrap our property tax system that is based off of the value of a home. That's absurd to base it off. That is a tax on unrealized gains, if you ask me. All right, more to follow with John Jackson, the Joker from X. Quick break here on Montana Talks. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in as well, 406-294-0970.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson, the next story that I wanted to get to here, we've got so much to talk about this morning here on the program. You would think after a holiday weekend it would be like, well, what are we going to talk about? Kind of nothing in the news, but man, there's so much to talk about here this morning. John, I shared this one with you on X earlier as well. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. Let me see. Let me go to my homepage here. I thought I had it pulled up, but demographics. We've been talking about this here in Montana, but it's really, it's a national conversation. Really, it's a global conversation. I mean, the communist Chinese, they are in a world of hurt right now because of demographics. You know, they had their one child policy where they forced families to only be able to have one child. And now, like, they're worried about what their future will even look like because they have so few kids and young people. Well, Montana has a demographic challenge as well. A lot of the people that have even moved into Montana are typically more retirement age. That's why they had the ability to move, a lot of them, because like they're like, you know what? I've got the time. I've got the wealth. I'm retired. I'm getting the heck finally once and for all out of California or out of Oregon or out of Washington, right? And so even with this big population boom in Montana, we are seeing a glut of kids in our schools. We don't have enough kids in our schools. There's schools in growing communities that are losing the number of kids in their local schools because of these demographics. People just aren't having kids, not only like they used to, but just are hardly having kids anymore. But John, this was very interesting. The Unleash Prosperity Hotline apparently says there is a political divide when it comes to who is having kids. The Unleash Prosperity Hotline took note here, and that's where I found this. The Financial Times shared a chart where the birth rates are falling more steeply among leftists than they are amongst conservatives. Isn't that pretty interesting? So basically, the left is now starting to get very concerned that they are basically killing their future.
Well, that's not a problem for them because they're bringing in, you know, 20, 25 million of all the world's poor and the world's shift birds, Adam Schiff birds in here to make sure that their voters continue to have children. So they themselves are not worried about those demographics as far as their voters. I don't think that's a problem for them.
You know, but it's so you've had the climate alarmist left telling people not to have kids because it's, you know, we've got too many people on the planet. But yet, like you just pointed out, they have no problem piling people from all over the planet into the United States of America, right? Like, oh, you're so concerned about the environment. If we have kids, if we want to go, you know, access our local, you know, federal lands, but you have no problem with the rest of the world piling into the United States of America. But a lot of these leftists really pretty sad when you think about it. They are literally killing their future. They are ending their family lines. They will have no next generation because they have so, you know, alarmed themselves that they can't have kids because of climate change. And many of their young people are buying into it. And that's why, for example, and again, this is from the Financial Times, conservatives in America, the average number of children born to people with different political ideologies, conservatives in America, it's about 2.4 is the average number of children. Progressives, or leftists as I would call them, because they're obviously not about progress. They're obviously about declining everything, including their own, you know, future generations. Progressives are listed at under 1.8. So almost, you know, like, anyway, so, but it's just interesting that, you know, the Greta Thunbergs of the world and all these folks, they have so bought into this ideology that they are literally killing their own future.
Well, actually, that's something I've preached to my own daughter for years, is that it's changed. Everything has changed from when you and I came up, Aaron, from when our parents came up. You remember back in those days, you could have a family with one breadwinner and you could have a couple of kids and you did well in life. You did better than well. You were middle to upper class and could pretty much, you know, have all the nice things in life that you wanted to have. You were comfortable. See, that doesn't work anymore. Nowadays, you want to have one kid maybe or two. You got to have both. Husband and wife out there working and working in good jobs just to break even, just to do okay in this life. And I think a lot of people are recognizing that.
Hey, speaking of Greta Thunberg, the climate alarmist activist, I don't know if you saw the Babylon Bee, the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical website. The Babylon Bee has a hilarious headline here. Hamas terrorists distance selves from Greta Thunberg. I don't know if you saw that. Apparently Greta Thunberg got a new haircut here, and now her and some other guy have been photoshopped into the Dumb and Dumber movie, film poster or something. What's the reference there? I didn't know what the Dumb and Dumber reference was.
I think that's Harry Sisson, who is one of the Democrat operatives out here on social media, was standing there with Greta with the Dumb and Dumber wigs on. But you know what was funny about what I was talking about the other day was, did you hear that Greta, along with Susan Sarandon, had jumped a boat and were going to sail on over there to Gaza with some aid for the Gazans? And I put out a post. I was like, come on, the Israeli military, the Israeli Navy, come on, let them in. Let them in. Just let them right in there. Let that boat hit the shores of Gaza, because then we won't have to hear from either one of these people ever again.
Yeah. Remember when Thunberg was on some ship, some climate ship sailing across the world, which is not very climate friendly, according to their own terminology. But anyway, and they were going to go, they claimed they were going to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza, and they got picked up by the Israelis, and Thunberg and crew didn't have enough food to eat. So the Israelis actually fed the very people that are siding with their enemies. And I forget who pointed out at the time, they'd be like, wait a minute, you were delivering humanitarian aid, yet you didn't even have enough food to feed yourselves? Tell us again what you were supposedly doing here.
I can't believe they weren't actually arrested. You know, in wartime, if the Israelis have set out there that, you know, you come across this line and you will be arrested. This is a national security zone established by the Israeli state. They should have had a way to just arrest those people and just chunk them in an Israeli jail for 30 or 60 days. I mean, that's what they deserve.
John, I want to get your take. Plus, we've got a message that just came in on the Montana Talks app. I want to get your take on crime in Chicago. I want to talk about Chirac in that big story. President Trump, apparently National Guard troops are already beginning to posture at the naval base there in Chicago to get ready to move in and help Chicago with all this crime that they're facing. Want to get your take on that story, but first let's go to another Montana story here, because you were posting on X about this one over the weekend as well. Western Montana News, westernmt.news, had this headline: federal government orders Montana to remove gender content from sex education curriculum. Apparently, some of these schools are still trying to push their woke gender confusion terminology. And so the feds are saying, hey, remove the material or you lose federal funding. And I loved what you said on X. You said, hey, orders is orders.
Rules are rules, buddy. Orders is orders, right? We hate to do it. We hate to pull all that gender content crap out of our school's curriculum. But gosh, federal government says we got to do it, so we got to do it. You remember those rules during COVID, right, Aaron? You know, when the federal government said you had to do this, that, and the other thing, God, my gosh, we had to do that, right? So, yeah, got to do it.
Yeah, remember how they would lecture us all? Well, look, if the feds say you have to do it, if the CDC says you have to do it, okay, well, if you guys say, you guys told us we have to do whatever, not that we were doing it, of course, but if you say that we're supposed to do whatever the feds say, well, feds say. So time to pony up here and get the job done. Yeah, that was a great response. By the way, you can find John on X, x.com/PVTJokerUS, Private Joker US on X. All right, John, what about the crime in Chicago? There's a reason that, what was it, Spike Lee, Jeff, I was chatting with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio earlier this morning about this because he's based in Chicago. I think he was the one who reminded me. Spike Lee did a whole documentary a while back titled Chi-Rack, because Chi-Town, Chicago, is as violent or maybe more violent than Iraq.
Yeah, and you know, that what Manasso brought up a real good point in that clip that where you were talking to him, and it was kind of glossed right over in that they found that this talking point that Chicago and some of these other blue areas have been using for years is, of course, a total lie. And that lie is that, oh, my gosh, all the crime is caused by all the guns there. Of course, that's lie number one. And lie number two, that these guns come from red states. Well, the data shows that almost all the guns recovered there in the Illinois area were bought and sold right there in Illinois. One big, fat, giant lie. But I guess we have to expect that from these communists.
Yeah, Lori in Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. She says the political leaders in high-crime cities could avoid President Trump from sending in the troops if they would just call them out themselves. Guess they would rather complain about Trump than serve their citizens. Really disgusting choices that they have made. John, did you see the post on X? I think the Trump War Room shared this as well. A young man who was a football referee on the south side of Chicago made a video as the football game got interrupted by gunfire. Anyway, I'll play that for you here, because even if John saw it, maybe some of you missed it. I'll play that clip for you right after the next break. Plus, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. But, yeah, the tragic but funny clip, because he talked about, I'm going to throw the flag. This is your neighborhood, not mine.
This is where Montana Talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
The Trump administration has moved to disrupt how wages are set for temporary guest farm workers, sparking both celebration and controversy. Last week, USDA announced it will end the long-running farm labor survey, which has collected farm wage data for more than a century. Farm employer groups praised the move, saying the survey inflated pay rates for H-2A guest workers and made U.S. farms less competitive. But the timing has created a regulatory clash. Just hours earlier, a federal judge in Louisiana struck down a 2023 Department of Labor rule that relied on a different data source, the Occupational Employment and Wage Statistics Report. In response, the DOL said it would return to using the Farm Labor Survey to set adverse effect wage rates. That means one agency is scrapping the survey, while the other says it will still need it to set wages for more than 350,000 H-2A workers in 22,000 farms. The National Council of Agricultural Employers applauded USDA's decision, arguing wages should be left to the market, not dictated by government surveys. But worker advocates warn the change could drive down pay, repeating battles seen in past lawsuits. For now, farmers and workers are left waiting to see how federal agencies will resolve their conflicting directions. That's all for today. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right. Great to be back with you here on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let me do a quick scene setter. Yeah, earlier this morning I was able to catch up with Jeff Manasso. He is a great reporter for Fox News Radio based out of Chicago. And he's got the latest here talking about the pushback and the support in Chicago as President Trump vows to fight crime in the city, just like he has been fighting crime in our nation's capital of Washington, D.C. Here is, I guess, one of the latest. This is somewhat slightly. Let me play the newer version here. This one just came out here about an hour ago. Let me see here. Let's go with this one. All right, here we go.
Chicago police say 58 people were shot over the holiday weekend, 8 of them killed. Though Democrat leadership, from the governor to Mayor Brandon Johnson, vowed to fight President Trump's potential crackdown on crime in this city. The mayor saying at a rally Monday,
"We're going to defend our democracy in the city of Chicago. We're going to protect the humanity of every single person in the city of Chicago. No troops in Chicago."
Other Democrats, including some aldermen, are breaking with the party and calling for help, as President Trump on Truth Social says that he'll solve the crime problem fast, just like he did in D.C., and that Chicago will be safe again and soon. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
All right, there you go. So that is the radio report that he filed. But, John, you were able to listen in on my conversation with him earlier. There were a few things that stood out to me. You know, one, the contrast between Chicago and Illinois and Washington, D.C. You know, Mayor Muriel Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C., black mayor of a predominantly black city, she actually, you know, even though she's still tries to be critical of Trump, she's actually saying, hey, this worked out well. We want to keep this going because it's actually helping to decrease crime in D.C. Now you contrast that with the woke, white, fat cat governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, who's trying to block and stand in the way of President Trump bringing the resources to stop the crime in the city of Chicago. That's the biggest thing that stood out to me. What else stood out to you?
Yeah, and once again, like we talked about the other issues, this is a time when Trump can manage to goad and troll these Democrats into going, taking the 5% side of a 95-5 issue. He's got them out there defending their crime-ridden cities. I mean, it's amazing where you have every politician pretty much in Illinois standing up and saying, we don't want this to happen. We don't want what happened in D.C. to happen here. And then you have the mayor of D.C. who has now issued an executive order telling the police department to cooperate with the feds at all times because she knows it's not that she actually wants this to continue. She knows the minute if they pull it back, the crime is going to snap back just like it was before, and her and all of her people are going to be out of office. See, and it's amazing how Trump controlled them into taking these positions.
Well, some people probably heard also the headlines. I mean, this was President Trump via the White House on X trolling Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who last week says, we don't need help with our crime.
In Chicago over the weekend, at least 54 people were shot. This is just over Labor Day weekend, 7 killed. Several of the incidents were mass shootings with multiple victims at a single scene. In one instance, a teenage girl was hit with a stray bullet. The violence comes as President Trump threatens to send federal agents and National Guard troops to Chicago to quell the crime there, despite objections from the city's mayor, Brandon Johnson, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Unfortunately, Joe, this is not unusual in Chicago, which has been plagued by gun violence for generations, not years, for generations.
54 people shot this week. Weekend in Chicago, 7 killed. I mean, those numbers just keep piling up.
All right, that was MSNBC, John. And then, of course, the reaction from the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois is, Oh, come on. That's every weekend. No big deal.
Amazing. What are we at? 8 months of the Trump administration here, and they have got these Democrats so insane that he has gotten them at every turn to be the pro-illegal alien, pro-criminal, pro-murderer, pro-rapist, pro-gang member, and at every turn has got them to come out in support of the worst people in our society. It's amazing. And they're not even embarrassed about taking these positions anymore. It's unbelievable.
You know, it's one of these situations. Well, you were in Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan. And sometimes there's things that's so stupid, you don't know whether to laugh or cry at it, right? Sometimes it's maybe a combination of both. You're like, what in the freaking world? But this is one of those clips that will have you probably do both. You're like, what the freak, man? What a train wreck in this city that's been running to the ground by these politicians in Chicago for decades now. But then there's also a part where you just have to laugh. This young black man in Chicago was refereeing a youth football game tournament that was going on. The whole thing gets interrupted by gunfire. People are running everywhere. And at one point, the young man who's got his referee shirt on, he's got short dreadlocks in his hair. He's on camera. He says, man, I'm just going to throw the flag. I just want to throw a flag out here. This isn't even my neighborhood. I'm just going to throw the flag. Anyway, listen into this clip.
In Chicago, everybody got to get down. Everybody got to get down because they shoot. Everybody down. Look, these kids are running. They shooting. We can't have no fun in Chicago, man. No fun, man. This is terrible. I'd have thrown a damn flag.
Because this y'all neighborhood.
This might be over here, but I got to figure this out.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you could hear him there, but he says, man, I'm just going to throw the flag. This is your neighborhood. This isn't even my neighborhood. But you know what? There's a lot of people he needs to throw the flag on right now, starting with his mayor, starting with their governor, starting with so many in the media. Man, we could go on and on who we need to throw the flag on right now.
Bingo, Aaron. That is exactly what I was going to say, is that now that this guy is famous with his viral clip here, somebody should look him up, say Jesse Waters or somebody like that, and ask him right to his face, sir, who did you vote for last election? Who did you vote for your city council and your mayor and your governor and your president? Who did you vote for? And you know, this is just put these people on the spot. Well, if you hate this stuff so much, why do you keep voting for more of it?
Well, I thought the same thing here from a Montana standpoint. You know, those sirens, the gunfire, the death. Think about the Mexican drug cartels and the Trende Aragua gangbanger thugs. They've targeted everybody. They've targeted the entire state. But who did they particularly target? Native American Indian reservations. And again, now, a few of these reservation counties went for Trump. But again, by and large, who are we voting for and what is the result? To John's point about Chicago, you could talk about it here in Montana as well. John, Lori in Billings sent us another message on the Montana Talks app, kind of tying in with, actually, you mentioned this during the break, but here's what Lori says. Sending the troops to Chicago will help with the arrests, but the mayor will still constrain the police. And the liberal city and district attorneys and the judges will still dump the criminals back out onto the streets. So, yeah, what do you do without a willing partner at the local level? At least D.C. has been somewhat willing.
Yeah, you can't do much. And I think this is a lot of politics. Like I said, this is Trump trolling these people and getting them to take this position. But really, result-wise and reality time, there's not much. You can search a bunch of federal agents in there and National Guard. But see, federal agents can only enforce federal law. They can't enforce state law, which is most of the violations going on out there on your street corners, right? And then the National Guard is strictly in a backup role. They don't even have any law enforcement authority. And in a city the size of Chicago, without the help from the locals, you're not going to be able to do much.
Yeah, well said. Let's see. Lots to talk about here. Just a quick few minutes left on the program. Man, you know, I got to get to this one. We got to end on a little bit more of a lighter note because we've been hitting all these hard-hitting topics here this morning as well. Did you hear Jazzy Crockett's latest accent that she came up with now? She's really putting it on thick now. Did you hear the latest from Jazzy Crockett, the elite congresswoman from Texas who pretends that she grew up on the streets of South Chicago?
Yes, I did, Aaron. I happened to hear that, and I'm telling you, it's just a great thing out here that we got the most educated people out there being our leaders in D.C., but it's a good thing to hear.
Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Martin now joining us here on Montana Talks. The jerk himself. Here we go. Are you doing your dance with your legs and your hips and your knees buckling at the same time? Are you doing that?
I will tell you one thing, Aaron. If you look at that picture of Jazzy there I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm cutting you off. I'm clutching the pearls now. Hold that. Thankfully, we got a break. Did you know that?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so if you were wondering what old Steve Martin, the Joker there before the break, was referencing there about Jazzy Crockett, here you go. Laura Ingraham had the stand-up comedian Jimmy Failla on her program. I think this was last night.
Jasmine Crockett debuting yet another new accent while doing a show with Don Lemon and D.L. Hughley. Watch.
Because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty.
Every time you play a video of the modern Democrat Party, have you ever shown up to a party where you realize everyone there's already had 12 drinks and you haven't started yet? So it doesn't make sense to you. You know, you walk in and you see like, oh, they cheating, they is. You're like, you know, I'm going to leave because I can't catch up to this.
I can't.
This is sad.
Oh, man. Yeah, Jimmy Failla, what a character he is. But she's laying it on thick. She actually grew up in a, you know, pretty well-to-do family, went to very elite private schools. She doesn't talk like that, but she's landed on thick now to put on the role-playing to raise money. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We got Jason in Polson. Jason, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to touch base back on pertaining to the PROTECT Act that's going to be going to vote when Congress goes back into session. My main concern is that as an American citizen, I have civil rights that are protected as a citizen, but what the PROTECT Act does is it gives tribal governments jurisdiction, criminal jurisdiction, over an American citizen, which would then violate my civil rights given to me by the Constitution. So anybody who is a representative of the people, so congressmen, senators, legislature, governors, ultimately the president of the United States, that knowingly violates the civil rights of the American people is no longer a representative and have shirked their duty. So,
yeah, I'm hopeful that PROTECT Act will not move forward in Congress. I do know that Congressman Zinke is not supporting it. Attorney General Austin Knutson is not supporting it. And I think based off the very concerns that you just raised right there, which is like, hey, if we are not citizens of that sovereign nation, why should we fall under the authority of a separate sovereign nation, right? I think that's a perfect, valid, legitimate concern and complaint to have. Yeah, Jason, thanks for the call. Sorry to cut it somewhat short. Let's sneak on another caller here before we run out of time and then get John's take as well. We got Tracy in Kalispell ringing through right now. Tracy, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call. Tracy, are you there? Did you mute yourself, Tracy? Go ahead. Or or is it Tim in Kalispell? Who do we got here? I hear somebody. You might be muted.
Yep. You got Ty in Helena.
Ty in Helena. Okay. Oh, that. Yeah, I just got a message. Ty in Helena. Okay. Yeah. What's on your mind? Thanks for the call. Sorry about that.
Well, you raise an interesting point about the taxes and the lowering number of kids in the schools. And we have two new bond proposals this election cycle that they want to build a new Helena High and they want to revamp the campus High. And if we are actually, why do we need two large high schools in Helena? I mean, they just built the East High.
Well, that's a good question because, you know, I'd have to look at the latest enrollment numbers, school enrollment numbers in Helena, because I could see a couple of things here. One, remember, there was like a school levy or something like that that they just tried to get across the finish line a couple years ago. And surprisingly, these school levies never fail in Helena, and they did here recently. But I wonder what enrollment numbers are looking like, because when it comes to housing markets, I've talked with real estate agents, and they say they told me, this was a few months ago now, they said that the Helena real estate market was the hottest real estate market in the state, that the Helena real estate market has just been rocking and rolling. So is that leading to more kids in the schools? Is that leading to a boost in enrollment numbers or not? If not, okay, well, that's a good question there. Why the need to expand? But the other question is, okay, why does the hottest real estate market in the state of Montana, and Ty, thanks for the call, why does the hottest real estate market in Montana not also see the hottest revenue increase in the state of Montana? So aren't they already getting more money? I mean, John, that's just my question there. John Jackson, your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of my points I've been making on your show for, what are we at, 4 years now. And all Montana voters, every time you see the next levy on your ballot, the answer is no. I don't care what it is, because what that is a tax. You are voting to tax yourself, and I don't care if it's for teenage, alcoholic, homeless, lesbians. Okay, I don't – free lunch for teenage, alcoholic, homeless, lesbians. The answer is no. No more taxes.
Well, look, I had the same argument when I was at the University of Montana and I ran for student government president and won. They wanted to increase our athletic fee. And I said, wait a minute, you've got 1,000 more students paying that fee now than you did 10 years ago. You owe us money. You owe us seats at the stadium. And you know what, John? We got more seats at the stadium without a fee increase. So conservatism is just common sense. It works, baby. John, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us as always. Sorry we ran out of time. I know we had more callers on the line.